Dubai Eye
103.8. Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts on all things school fees. YouGov report out this morning suggesting or asking the question, do you get value for money for your school fees? A lot of people sending their thoughts in on that. We will continue the conversation with regards to that in just a few moments' time. But that's not the only story we want to look at in more detail. Children are too attached to their devices. Something needs to be done about this growing problem. KHDA had their say yesterday. Emma Brain.
Yeah, it was part of the Dubai Student Wellbeing Census, and it found that 66% of respondents from grades 6 to 12 are on their devices before they go to sleep. And many educators agree that excessive usage of the devices could cause them to lose sleep and develop anxiety and affect their social skills, and not just before they go to bed, but using them in schools in general.
A Kaspersky study recently here in the region as well said that close to 40% of parents in the UAE believe they cannot control what their kids see online. Children under the age of 9 are spending more time connected to the internet. They're urging parents to better protect their children from viewing inappropriate content, becoming a victim of cyberbullying and sharing private data. In fact, we've done a poll of sort on this, haven't we, in the last couple of days?
We did. We did a poll across our social platforms, and on Instagram, 87% of people said yes, kids spend way too much time on their devices. On Twitter, 56% said ban them in the classroom, 19% said they need more monitoring, and 25% sat on the fence and went, I don't know.
It's interesting because obviously this is just one of a number of polls that are running at the moment, but I can understand why it's difficult. Why? Because you look at some of the reports that are coming out on this subject globally. Young children spending twice as long looking at screens as they do playing outside. By the time they reach the age of 7, children will have been looking at screens for the equivalent of 456 days, an average of 4 hours every day. That was a report that was put out recently by the Good Child Development Advisory Board. And yet then, we follow it up with a new report from the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health, published at the beginning of this year under the title Screen Time Guidance, which says it's impossible to recommend appropriate screen time for children as there's not enough evidence to confirm that it is actually harmful for you. So, where do you stand on the situation, the argument, and how best to police what is a growing and concern for many parents and educators? To that end, let's get the thoughts of an educator here. We're going to talk to the principal of Dwight School here in the UAE. Yannicka Arnest joins us now live on the live. Yannicka, thanks so much indeed for your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because who to believe when it comes to the research that seems to back up that there's not enough research out there to make a correlation between the amount of time children spend on screens and their health. And then there are those that say it is very negative. What's your stance?
Well, I agree. It is definitely confusing, and it's not easy to give a specific answer. Certainly not to the amount of time each individual child should or should not spend with the screen in their hand. What we see in school was a growing trend that children would use their devices during their break, and they would sit. They might sit together in groups, but it didn't seem like there was much interaction because everyone would have their own device. So I do think that we can definitely monitor the way they use their devices. We work ourselves in a one-to-one device school. So for us to go to the extent to say we would ban the device would be contradictory to our educational philosophy. However, we do institute ways of allowing students to interact definitely without their device. And we do not want our students to come to school in the morning looking down at their telephone. We want them to have their phone in their backpack and walk into school and greet people in the morning face to face rather than glancing up from a phone in their hand. And I believe we have the opportunity to teach the students to be mindful of the way they use the device. I do not think that students or children today will listen to adults if they want to completely ban it. It's something that has taken a natural part of the everyday, and I would rather that we focus on ways to balance rather than to say it should be banned or it's impossible to control. I do believe we can control to a certain extent.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because if you look at, read into some of those figures and findings from the KHDA report, the student wellbeing census that was out recently, suggestions being that children not getting enough sleep, children not eating a healthy breakfast, children spending too much time on their electronic devices away from the classroom back at home. But then again, that is their home environment. And you as principals, as teachers, have a very limited influence on that. So in terms of what you can control, I mean, can we ever foresee a day when individual schools, when education authorities place an outright ban on smartphones in classrooms or in school environments?
Well, I know that many schools do ban the use of a device, a personal device brought to school. And that's not a problem, because your personal device can definitely be something that is limited to your home environment or the environment outside the school. And then the school will make the provision for the learning technology that they find relevant to their own learning environment. If we, like our school, like the Dwight School being a one-to-one device school, and we know that the majority of our students also have a personal device that they bring in addition to the iPad that they're provided with by the school, we can still limit the use of their device while they're at break. Mm. So we are in control of what happens in the classroom, whether that is with a learning device or with a textbook or with a smart screen or with group work. Whatever happens in the classroom is what we provide within the school. Now, we can also help our students develop social mechanisms of interaction that alleviate the use of the device when they are at lunch break or when they transition between classes. We have we try out, for example, letting every student leave their device in a box as they come into the classroom. It stays in the box while they're in the classroom, and they can pick it up when the lesson is over. Or you could also do that at the beginning and the end of the day. So there are lots of ways that schools can be clever about the way they monitor. And when we speak with the students, the majority of the students actually appreciate that the school takes action, and especially if they're involved in taking that action. So with our student council, we discuss what smart use is and what it isn't, what it should look like in school, and how they use their devices outside of school. The more we communicate with the students, the more they feel that we understand their ways of interacting. I think we have also a better chance at developing agreements between the students and the adults that will actually work in favor of a less smart device heavy social interaction environment.
I think you hit on a really important point there. You know, we're very quick, knee-jerk reaction to ban outright devices and usage of these devices. And yet that sort of flies in the face of where we're going with the world. We're seeing adults becoming more and more dependent on their smartphones and their devices for everyday life, work, personal, professional and otherwise. So that whole idea of communication and making sure that you interact and understand with students and make the point to them that it's not everything in their lives and they still do need to have those social skills, that's what's almost as imperative.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a huge role that schools everywhere play in today's society. Developing social skills, developing life skills for students, it takes up an enormous part of their educational journey. And a lot of that happens in school. And we can help the students or young people today develop a more balanced understanding and seeing what is good for them and what is not, and allowing them to explore then ways of acting or ways of interacting with others where they cannot use a device, for example. And the more we facilitate that, I think the better chance we have at getting on the same page. And I do believe, as you said, I do not personally believe in banning. Mm. I cannot see myself working without a device. Mm. I would be totally inefficient in my job. So I wouldn't want that for the students either. But I wouldn't like to come home and have my own children look at me at the dinner table and say, why can't you put your phone away? So if I wasn't able to put the phone away while I'm having dinner with my family, then I would be also sending a huge, you know, negative signal to my own children. So there's a lot we as adults can do in terms of monitoring good behavior, that I think is also important for the children that we are surrounded by. But they look at us and see what we do, and then if we're not walking the talk, then we are not setting ourselves up for success.
Great point, well made. Thank you so much indeed, Annika, for your time. I know you're busy at the moment. So to you and all your team at Dwight School, thank you again for your time this morning.
Well, thank you very much. To you too.
Oh, thanks.
Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Annika Ernest there, the principal at Dwight School, joining us live on the line. If you want to listen back to Annika's thoughts and opinions on the place of digital in the classroom, in the school environment, at home as well, and the challenges faced by educators, you can listen back to it on the podcast, which will be available on the website straight after the show. We're talking about smart devices. Are children spending too much? Why are we talking about children spending too much time on smart devices? What about just us?
Well, yeah, the minute we go to have a little music interlude, Tom, you pick up your phone and you're Instagramming.
Exactly.
We do. And mine's buzzing away with WhatsApp messages from work staff this morning. Can't get away from it.
You know, we're very quick to point the finger at younger generations and kids these days. But what about ourselves? What about the example that we're setting and just how much time we're spending on screen as well? Your thoughts on this one. What can be done to counter that? Children are too attached to their devices. Something needs to be done about this growing problem. Yesterday, we were speaking about the KHDA's Dubai Student Wellbeing Census. That found that 66% of respondents from grades 6 to 12 are on their devices before they go to sleep. Educators agree that excessive usage of these devices could cause them to lose sleep, but also develop anxiety and affect their social skills. Kaspersky have also thrown into their weight behind the subject. Their recent survey found that close to 40% of parents here in the UAE believe they cannot control what their kids see online. Children under the age of 9 are spending more time connected to the internet. This on the back of some results showing that children in the United Kingdom are spending more time on their devices inside, inside than inmates in prisons over in the United Kingdom at the moment are given to spend outside. So does something need to be done? How do we go about it? Who bears the responsibility? Is it down to the children themselves, the parents, the educators, or those around them? Or is this just a fad? Is it something that will pass? Emma Brain's got the details on Dubai Eye's Instagram poll that we've been doing across our social platforms, Instagram, Twitter and others.
Yes, so we did a survey on our social media platforms and when my computer decides to actually boot up, that'd be great. We had a lot of things. It was basically something like 86% of people said yes, that we should be banning them. And about 56% of people on Twitter said yes, we should ban it as well. A lot of people said they didn't know. So, yeah.
So that's what we need to, the question that we've been posing. Do you support a ban on smartphones in the classroom? A number of schools have done that already. We've been speaking to the principal of Dwight School, Annika, a little earlier on in proceedings. Let's get more take now on this, because we're looking at it from a sort of a quite black and white scenario in terms of ban or not to ban. But what about the sort of the thinking that goes behind the devices that are being used, but also others as well? Let's get a psychological perspective, if we can. Child psychologist Hanine Girard joins us live now on the line. Hanine, thank you very much indeed for being with us.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for tackling this very important subject.
Look, it is an important subject. And to that end, where are we at the moment, do you think, Hanine? Because there is research to back up both schools of thought. There is research out there suggesting that children are spending too much time on their devices. And yet there is other research that's been out quite recently over in the UK suggesting not enough research has been done yet for us to make that link.
Well, let me talk about the research that has been done. And research that has been done shows that smartphone use at a very young age is damaging to the developing brain. So the mobile device or any screen time causes the brain to become wired from a very early age to crave easy dopamine. So dopamine is a feel-good chemical, and it's released by the brain when you achieve something. Like if you're outside playing basketball and you get a goal, or if you are planting a seed and you water it every day and all of a sudden it sprouts, it gives you dopamine, and this is the feel-good chemical. When you're on your smartphone, on your iPad devices, you get this dopamine, but you get it in a very easy way. The constant overstimulation from these screens gives the brain hits of dopamine and adrenaline, by the way, that are very easy. And it becomes so addictive that children start craving it. So why go outside and, you know, spend all this energy and time to think and problem solve to get this dopamine when you can get it very easily from your smartphone or your devices? And it's not only the technology itself that's bad for kids, but the way it's being used. It disconnects them from basic needs such as sleep, nutrition, fresh air, physical activity, as well as higher needs such as a sense of belonging, meaning in life, social connection. So that is actually research that has been done, and it's been proven and done over and over again.
Hmm. But is that any different, Hani, than years gone by and former devices or former new forms of media that have come in that have sort of shocked the establishment and people saying that children were spending too much time in front of the radio, too much time in front of TV in the past? Are we seeing a significant spike now with regards to the individual element and the lack of interaction when it comes to smartphones?
We are. The radio and TV didn't give us the same amount of dopamine. It wasn't as addictive. It didn't take the place of very important early life experiences as we are seeing today. We did have a very clear disconnect. For example, I remember the TV when I was younger. It was in the living room where everyone sat, and we sat at a certain hour as a family and we watched TV after dinner. However, today's smartphones and screens are in our beds, they're in our bedrooms. Every child has their own access. So it's kind of crawled itself into our lives without asking permission, I feel sometimes. And that's the difference between when the radio first came and the television first came. Definitely when new technology comes into our life, there is a big kind of bang where, what's this? Why are we so connected to it? Definitely. But this is different. And we're seeing a huge increase in anxiety, depression linked to these devices. Also, because when you are on social media at a very young age, you start seeing yourself as less than these people that are so skinny and so happy and always doing something that's exciting. And your self-worth starts being connected to these individuals and what they're doing. So it links to these kind of mental health issues, also to weight gain, to diabetes. So definitely more than when the radio and TV came on 20 years ago or more.
So certainly good reason for concern at the moment. I suppose we need to turn our attention to what can be done about it. We were talking to the principal of Dwight School a little earlier on, who was very keen to advise, you know, the difficulties of trying to implement an outright ban on personal devices in a school that is very encouraging of the use of technology within the classroom for an educational purpose. So to that end, how do we get the message across, do you think, Hanine? Is it something that needs to come from the parents? Is it something that needs to come from the educators? Is it something that we need to come together and help to, well, speak to children, your younger generations, about the implications?
Yeah. I definitely don't think that a write-out ban is the right answer for sure, because technology is part of our life. Technology has a lot of good uses. It's very important to train our children on technology and how to use it safely from a very early age. So it's not about a ban. It's about understanding, educating children themselves about how addictive these smartphones, these TV screens can be, and putting it in their, it's called psychoeducation. So letting them understand, letting the parents understand, educators understand, how to use these devices to our benefits. Let them work for us, not us work for them. We're not going to be, zombies in front of screens. We want to use this technology to better our understanding, our development as a human race, for sure, but limiting the bad effects that comes with addiction to screen time and technology, especially at a young age when the brain is still developing.
Cause for concern, obviously, at the moment. Grey areas are plenty out there for a number of these pieces of research. Is this something that we need to spend more attention on moving through 2019 and the future to avert bigger problems down the line?
In terms of research or in terms of education?
In terms of research, but equally, I suppose, in terms of making decisions, taking decisions or doing something about this, making a stand at the moment to try and limit the amount of time.
So I hear a lot from parents that they feel that they can't do much when it comes to their own children spending time. We have to take a better, stronger stance on it. If your child is sitting in front of you and having sugar for breakfast, lunch or dinner, for sure you're going to go in and intervene and say something about it. It's the same with electronic devices. And we can see it as the same thing, that if your child has had lots of physical activities, seen their friends, done their homework, of course screen time at the end of the day in a limited amount of time is fine. But then if it's all they're doing and it's taking up a lot of their time, taking up a lot of their energy, and they're very young, then it's cause for concern and you have to intervene as parents. As parents, as educators, it's our very important duty to inform and create very strict rules and regulations on the youth, who watches what, to what age, to what time, and it's our role because the children won't know. It's addictive, and it's created. A lot of psychologists, by the way, are hired to create these games and to create these interfaces to make them addictive. So the child can't fight this. It's our role to be able to put these rules and regulations for our children.
Helene, really appreciate your time. Child psychologist, counsellor, director of the School Readiness Programme at the Kamali Clinic right here in Dubai, Dr. Helene Girard. Thank you so much indeed for your thoughts on this important subject.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.